This is CliffCentral.com.
Sanbona Nonke! Wow, what a cool track. Mdu, where were you when this came out? Siajola! What a cool, cool track. Thank you so much to Gareth and the gang. Back again tomorrow, 6 to 9. Dumelang Rorisang Shabalala.
Hey, Andrew Levy.
Is that all I get? Look you how excited hear. I am.
This is me at the height of excitement. This is 9 o'clock, this is me bouncing off the walls right now.
You haven't had your chai latte yet. Is that the problem?
This is me bouncing off the walls. Why are you revealing?
You are so excitable. It's ridiculous.
Yes, like it's madness up in here.
All right. So we've got a whole bunch of stuff going on today.
You can hear the new members are in town. You see the songs we start with. Which other show? On Cliff Central.
Starts with
Mdu. Oksalai. You can hear the new members are in town. We are here, Baba.
We are here and we are waiting. We are waiting for you. Siyalindela.
So, today, we're speaking about tomorrow. the State of the Nation address is coming up. It's the same thing every single year. Not fireworks or anything, but we thought we should just figure out, one, what is the real state of our nation? Because you know how politicians get, right? They just talk and always want to present a great picture. But between me and you, we see what's happening with Iran. We see what's been happening. Racism here, you know. We see
unemployment.
Unemployment. There's a drought. How do you spin that? How do you positively
There's
come
white
out
people.
And say, no. I can't work like this.
Don't do that. Sorry. Well, listen, it was really interesting because I thought we were coming in here to speak about Sona, and we are. But I thought Sona would be the huge debate for this week. Everyone is anticipating 6 o'clock Thursday. It is round 2. Of what has come to be known as the biggest fight on the South African plains or playing field. But yesterday surprised me. The Concord went down.
Yeah.
And Zuma, I feel, went down too.
Yeah, we'll see what the results are. But it really was a big thing. And now, as we head into the Sona, the big question is not what will the man say. It's really just about the man now. You know, does this man have any credibility left? Apparently, reading a News24 article this morning, South Africans' trust in the government is sitting at 16% right now, which is the lowest on earth. So that makes us lower than like Zimbabwe,
South Sudan,
Venezuela, Brazil,
America,
you know, like we're sitting at 16%. Putin's people, the Russians, trust him more than they trust.
But of course they do.
Government.
They love, the Russians love Putin. And why not?
So this man then goes up. So not only do we not trust government and we're sitting at 16% trust level for government as a whole, I am sure the trust levels in the president who leads this government is much lower. So what is he going to say up there that anyone is going to take seriously? Anyone's going to think, okay, let me listen to this seriously? Or are we just all going to watch for the entertainment of maybe a big Barney like we had last year? Interesting to see what the DA is going to be doing this year. They were all in black last year morning, and then they came out with a broken man in a broken society thing. Are we going in looking at this at the sideshow, or are we really going there to hear what this president has to say? And you know, can we even trust what this man has to say now?
The question will be if Bernie Sanders wins the Democrats vote
and
Donald Trump beats Bernie Sanders, which a lot of people are saying, will Donald Trump actually be able to trump Jacob Zuma as the worst president on earth? That is how bad Jacob Zuma is, ladies and gentlemen. It is neck and neck. And you know what else, Nhleko must be wondering or must be now understanding what Jacob Zuma's second name really means,
Tell us.
Under the bus.
The smiling assassin.
The smiling assassin. Yeah.
You remember how much the guy was sweating last when he came out and had to explain fire pools and stuff. Remember how he was sweating. Like, that man was sweating. He knew that what I'm about to say here makes no sense anywhere. And now they have to account, right? And that's what the State of the Nation address is. It's more for the president to come out and to give one an account of how have we done over the past year since the last State of the Nation address. And then to say, this is what we're looking to do in the coming year. And these are my priorities, and this is government's priorities in the coming year. But like I said, the challenge is that is anyone coming specifically for that, what he has to say, or is everybody just coming to see if the EFF is going to do what it said it would do? Is everybody coming to see to hear what the opposition will say? Of course, this year there will be no points of order allowed, as we heard, and there will be no interjections allowed. So he basically comes in, says a speech, and goes out. They've cut the budget for this year as well. For this year's State of the Nation address, apparently there won't be a lavish dinner because they're tightening their belts.
There you go.
But frankly, there's nothing to celebrate this year, especially if you've just been walloped like you were yesterday. So there's a lot to talk about and to look forward to on the State of the Nation. And today we want to focus really on just understanding a year later, where do we stand? So let's look at the promises that were made in 2015 and how we're doing as far as they're concerned here in 2016. Before we can even listen to you, let's first understand, how have you done with what you said you were going to do last year, Mr. President? And then the second one is it really as bad as it seems?
So frankly speaking, what is the real state of our nation? 2 hours on this. The first hour, we will be speaking to the politicians. The second hour, we will be speaking to the analysts, the economists, the students, and you. To find out what your thoughts are, 0861-555-189. You can also hit us up on WeChat. It's Cliff Central. Or you can go to Twitter at Rory Shabalala or at Yebo _LEVY. That's where you can That's where we can hear from you as to your thoughts on what is the real state of the nation. It is going to be absolutely cool. Let's hear what happened last year. Take a listen to this.
Good evening, Sanbonani, Molweni, Riperile, Dumelang, Lochan, Khwenand, Dimategwan. That South Africa belongs to all who live in it.
A question of privilege.
Black.
Rule 14C of the Joint Rules of Parliament, 6th edition.
Rule 14, Section C and L.
Can the Honorable President, I'm sorry to interrupt your speech. If the President would not mind just taking a seat.
But please don't take it literally. For you, Honorable President, are not an honorable man.
Honorable Malema, I don't think you are going to raise anything that is not covered by what I have said.
You are making a mistake because you are reading my mind.
When is the money being paid by EFT, cash, or e-wallet?
What did you do, Mr. President? You laughed. You laughed while the people of South Africa cried for their beloved country.
Honorable members should be aware that each house has a procedure for asking of questions to the executive.
It is within my right to speak as a member of this house and remind you.
See, you're willing to break every democratic institution to try and fix the legal predicament you find yourself in.
You are not raising anything new. And what you are saying is still the same thing I've responded to, I've explained.
The brute force of the state won, and the hearts of our nation was broken.
I also order the security officers to please assist.
But Honorable Speaker, we want to speak.
Manana Speaker, we come back to you.
Because if we allow our parliament to become a circus, we are destroying democracy.
We have indeed allowed one powerful man to get away with too much for far too long.
To want to suggest that when the president speaks, you suspend the rules. The rules are not suspended, and the rules must apply even when the president speaks.
Honorable President, we will never, ever forgive you for what you did on that day.
Yo, 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 fire! Fire! What do you think of that, Rory? That's a recap of last year. Wow.
So, two things. Entertainment value,
100%. 100%, yeah. Right?
But as for the function of what Parliament is and should be, 0%.
Right? You know, you asked an interesting question a little bit earlier this week saying, does anyone care? Does anyone care about the sonar? Is it so out of date, out of reach, that the average South African doesn't give a toss? And while I agree with you that did it serve its purpose, what it did do was actually bring people back to actually looking at what and asking, what does Parliament do? What do they do all day? And I think that sparked really good conversations.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, they still have to actually get down to the work of Parliament, which is to make laws. As much as it's got us talking and so on, but what happened, right? And for that to happen, it's not just a function of government; it's also opposition parties. And the question is, what have they done since last year's SONA? They came out with their great speeches, broken man, broken society. They did the great things, but ultimately, how did they change things? How did they make sure that the state of our nation is fundamentally different today to what it was last year? And by the looks of things, not much has changed. So are they also guilty of having let South Africans down?
All right, so hit us up on WeChat at cliffcentral.com or on Twitter at Rory Shabalala or at Yebo_Levy. We are going to be speaking to our first guest. What is the real state of our nation? What do you think? Let us know your thoughts. And if you have any questions for our next guest, Phumzile Van Dam from the DA, please do let us know. Phumzile is on the line from Cape Town. Good morning to you.
Good morning, guys, and thanks for having me. I believe this is the first time I'm on your show.
Indeed.
You're incorrect. Yes. We made you trend last year, Phumzile, and now you've forgotten us. You see, you've forgotten us. Yo.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. We'll get you back. Don't worry. The line of questioning that you're about to receive will get you back. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm actually looking forward to tomorrow. I know it's time I'm looking forward to the theatrics that the EFF has promised in the drama. But as the DA, we're going in to go listen to the president in order to properly respond to his plans for the country. We need to listen and give informed responses. So we're really looking forward to just hearing the speech and going about our business of giving of keeping governments accountable.
Jeez, that sounded like a teacher comment. Huh? That sounded straight from Madam Zilla, not Phumzile Van Dam. We must listen in the court and in the classroom so that we can properly respond.
Of course, I'm serious. We have to properly listen, though. I mean, Gandla is important, but there are other issues facing the country. Gandla was dealt with in court yesterday. There's other issues facing the country. There's 8 million people unemployed. Service delivery is failing in many municipalities. The economy is slowing down. So there's many, many other issues that need to be tackled. And Gandla is a big problem, yes, but there's other issues too.
Phumzile, we're about to get into the question of are things as bad as they seem? But before we even get into the speech, the man that's going to be giving the speech, one might say, is going in a very compromised position and you know, wondering whether there's anything worth listening to. Because when you listen to somebody, first you're worried about the content, but then the credibility. And it sounds like the man that's going to be giving the speech tomorrow is going in on zero, if not negative, credibility. So what's the point, really, of listening to what he has to say?
I was in the Concord yesterday listening to all the different submissions from the different parties. And Jeremy Gauntlet, for the president, said something which I found quite poignant. He said, you know, it's a dangerous time. It's a delicate time in a dangerous year. So it is an election year, and, you know, Zuma is going to try and go in there and try and present the ANC's good story, to tell, that they have a good story to tell. But the truth is, in many municipalities around the country, service delivery has completely slowed down. You know, there's no garbage collection. Water isn't any water.
Pumzile, so, before you get there, let's talk about the man that will be. I want us to get man. Into those. But this man, President Jacob Zuma, that we are all going in to listen to. It's one thing. Mm. It almost doesn't matter what he says tomorrow, really, because no one trusts.
Severely, exactly, he's severely compromised, and his favorability polls have gone down. But the fact of the matter is, President Jacob Zuma is still president of the country, and until such a stage where he isn't anymore, we have a duty to listen to him. Particularly as an opposition party, he's the guy who's the president of the country, he's the guy leading the country. So we can't just say, okay, no, we don't like this guy, we're just going to ignore him. He's still running a country, and we need to make sure that we hold him to account.
So we asked on Facebook, will we see Zuma announcing his resignation tomorrow? And your fellow comrade in arms, Johan Abri, responds, Comrade Rory, I think you and I will fall pregnant before Zuma will resign. What do you think, Pumzile? Are Johan and I going to have to make a baby first before Zuma resigns?
Yeah, well, I mean, Zuma has been severely weakened. In the last couple of months, he's had to make about turns on two big issues. The first one was Nene, and now it's paying back the money. So his position within the ANC has been significantly weakened, and we expect the Crown Court to make a ruling that won't be in his favor from the case that was heard yesterday. So the perception out there is that President Zuma might not even see out his term. We would, of course, be super pleased at that, because, you know, he has not been a great president.
So the leader of the DA, Musi Maimane.
You nearly said Helen Zille there, eh?
No, I
it
didn't.
It nearly slipped.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm not the
all
one
right,
obsessed
okay.
with Helen
yeah,
Zille. You
okay,
are.
Okay.
Excuse us, Pumzile. We're having a moment.
Okay. Family fight.
Family fight. So, Musi Maimane last year said, we've allowed a one powerful man to get away with far too much for far too long. And it's very easy for us to point fingers at this one man. But we do know, of course, that you yourselves as opposition are part of the government machinery, are part of making things happen. Are we going to see a fundamentally different state of the nation, 2016 versus 2015? And what has your role been as the DA to making sure that the state of the nation 2016 is fundamentally different to the state of the nation in 2015?
The way we see it, the DA has a dual role, right? So we are a party in parliament with the official opposition, where we do our work of holding the ANC to account. People often complain that, you know, the DA talks too much about what the ANC is doing, but we're actually just doing our job as a party in opposition, keeping government accountable. So there's that one part that we do by keeping government accountable. The second thing that we do is that we are party in government. We govern 28 municipalities around the country. We govern a province. And where we govern, we've demonstrated what DA governance looks like. The Western Cape has the lowest unemployment rates, the highest service delivery. So we have a dual role of a party in government, where we demonstrate good governance, and then we're a party in opposition, where we keep the ANC to account. And I think we've done an excellent job at that. We've governed well, and we've been quite good at holding the ANC accountable.
We've got a whole bunch of people tweeting us and hitting us up on WeChat. You can also join us in the conversation with Pumzile van Damme. She's from the DA. If you want your questions answered, hit us up at Rory Shabalala or at Yebo_Levy. You can also hit us up on WeChat. Zandi says, Mrs. van Damme seems worried about the EF. EFF, sorry. She starts by sending a few shots directed to them. Watch DA playing dirty politics against the EFF. Do you want to respond to that, Pumzile? Are you worried about the EFF?
The ANC, No, we're not worried about the EFF has 1 million votes. We have 4 million. We're a party in government. We're absolutely not worried about our junior opposition party.
Ooh,
The EFF does not need our help in playing dirty politics. They do that very well all on their own. They, you know, had threats of violence against the media. They've threatened to disrupt parliament. They're doing that just fine on their own. They don't need our help.
How long has the DA, as it stands right now, been together as the DA?
So how long has
the DA been in power? Like, how long has the DA been the DA? Not the DP,
how
but
long
the
has
DA.
It been? As the DA. There was a rebrand, 2000, I think. Yeah, in 2000,
okay.
From the DP.
So 16 years, you've got 4 million followers. And just over a year, the EFF has got 1 million followers. And you are not stressed that they will overtake you in 2019.
Interesting. That is absolutely not going to happen. The DA is the only party that has grown consistently since 1994. All other parties, small parties have come and have gone. The ANC has declined in support, and the DA has been steady in its growth, and we're steady going forward. The ASF is absolutely not a threat to us.
Phumzile, coming back to the state of the nation as it stands right now, are things really as bad as they seem, or is this just Afro-pessimism? Some people have said, no, it's just Afro-pessimism. Mm-hmm. It's the refusal to believe that a black government can really do anything good. Are things really as bad as it seems? So the rand, yeah. The rand is happening, but we understand that, yes, Nhlanhla Nene happened and President Zuma needs to take responsibility for that, but there are also a lot of other macro issues that are happening globally to the economy. Are things really that bad just internally, or is this just a function of being part of a global village in which it's happening to everybody?
I think it depends. Whether you think it's bad depends on where you are. I mean, if you're middle class and you've got a job, you've got income, you have a pretty good life, life is good for you. But I mean, it's for those 8 million people that are unemployed, the people that don't get service delivery, for whom life is not bad, for whom life is absolutely terrible. And it is for those people that at least I get up, and I know other people in the get up in the morning and fight every day.
But do we really care about those 8 million unemployed people? If we were just to be honest, our daily activities, do they align with this caring for 8 million poor people, or are we about entrenching power and so on?
No, I firstly care not only from just being a politician. I care as a human being. It hurts me when I see other people suffer, and I want people to live good lives. So just as a human being, at a human level,
that is the right thing to say, as a politician and even just as a human being, is that we care about the poor. But it just doesn't look like anything's changing for the poor in this country. So can we honestly say that we care?
That's why the ANC needs to be taken out of power.
But is
it 21 years to improve conditions for people, and it hasn't happened? So they need to move aside and give another political party a chance. The reason why for so many people life hasn't changed, for a lot of people that remain poor, it's because of the government, of the party that has controlled the levels of government for 21 years and really hasn't made any difference to some people. I mean, to some people's lives. To other people's lives, life is great, things have improved, but for many, many others, things have not changed, and that's why it's time to say goodbye, ANC.
Has life changed for the people who live in the shadow of Table Mountain?
The shadow of Table Mountain?
I.e. Khayelitsha, Langa, Inyanga.
You have to speak.
Well, you're in charge there, so you tell me. Come on, let's go.
For those people, the DA, since we've been in power in the city of Cape Town in 2006, we've consistently spent 60%. Between 60 and 70% of the budget in those areas to provide service delivery. But they're dealing with excessive and increased in urban in-migration. So the budget does not meet the number of new people coming into the city, but they're doing the very, very best.
Phumzile, can you tell me with certainty that there are no more open air toilets in the Western Cape?
I can tell you with certainty that they've been reduced significantly and that the biggest amount of open air toilets are in Port Elizabeth.
So let me ask you this then.
I think that they're below, I don't know the exact figure, but.
So if you had to be honest
like
then. If you had to be honest then, because we're talking about the real state of our nation and we're talking about sonar and what President Zuma will say, but do you think that the DA has done the best job it could have done from 2015 to 2016 with the resources
it
has?
Absolutely. We have done the absolute best that we can, and South Africa's voters are recognizing that. In the last by elections we've taken part in the last year, we have increased our support all around, and we've done the very best we can. I mean, we're not perfect, but we're doing the best we can, and we're improving all the time.
Pumzile, there's obviously just a big concern about, you know, so what do we do? We're in this mess, it feels like. And we need to be finding our way out. But whatever plans we put in place require just strong leadership. And it would appear that even the DA might be struggling in this department. We see, or at least it appears, and of course you might have a different view, it appears that the president of the DA, Musi Maimane, is struggling to just get everybody on board and singing from the same hymn sheet. Now, there seems to just be a broader problem with leadership across the country. How do we do, because this is not something we can go and mine or, you know, import from elsewhere. Our problems of leadership in South Africa can only be solved by developing a leadership crop that is relevant to the issues of South Africa. So what are we going to do with this problem of leadership? Because it really is a problem, isn't it?
Yeah. Just on Musi, since Musi was elected at the BA Congress with the landslide support, he's done a lot. I mean, our membership has increased by 300%. We've done well in a lot of by-elections. And he's still new and still learning, but he's done his very, very best. And the issue of leadership in general, I think the biggest tool people have in South Africa to bring about change is their votes. There's other forms of activism that we must absolutely engage in, social media activism, protests, etc. That's the ultimate tool to bring about the kind of leadership that South Africa deserves is through the ballot.
So that...
We're both very excited to speak to you, Pumzile, so we're speaking over each other. I wanted to ask you a question. Do you believe that government has done any good in 2015? And if so, what have they done that you think you can applaud government?
Yeah, I mean, it's always assumed that the DA thinks everything is bad and, you know, nothing good has happened. There have been good things that have happened, and those things we have applauded. But it is where government fails that we need to hold them to account.
Well, let's talk about the applause. Let's talk about the applause. What are they?
Wait. I'm not done. That's why I'm saying that for those, it's not all bad, okay? There's some people whose lives are great and things have improved, but it's for those people where things haven't changed that we continue to fight. So we're not saying that since 1994, the ANC has done nothing, everything is bad. We recognize where things where improvements have been made, but where they fail, we hold them to account.
Pumzile, we know that you guys draw a lot of inspiration, or at least it's said that you do, from President Obama of the United States. And in his last State of the Union address...
Sorry, what was that? We draw what?
It's said that you guys draw, or at least your leader draws a lot of inspiration from the leader of the United States.
He draws inspiration from different leaders.
From the leader.
He's a good leader.
Wait. He draws his inspiration from the leader of the United States, the president, President Obama, all right? Mm-hmm. It might be one of them, but he certainly, it's been said that he draws the inspiration from President Obama, amongst others. President Obama, in his last State of the Union address, premised that address on four key questions. And those had to do with, how do we give everyone a fair shot at opportunity and security in the economy? How do we make technology work for us and not against us? He spoke about how do we protect ourselves without becoming a policeman for the rest of the world? And how can we make our politics reflect what's best in us and not what's worst? Do you think politicians, particularly on this last question, have done a decent job as far as making sure that our politics reflects what's best in us and not what's worst?
Politicians historically have a terrible reputation. I was saying to you guys earlier that, you know, I actually genuinely care about people and I want people to have better lives. And that's something that politicians all around will have to work on. We need to have our image of politicians cleaned up.
What will it take to make that happen? So understanding that the role of a politician is to accumulate power for self and to defend it for as long as possible.
I think it's a bit of a cynical view of politicians. Not all politicians.
Who doesn't have a cynical view of politicians?
Exactly, as I'm saying, it needs to be reformed. It isn't only, I know for me and others, it really isn't solely about, amassing power. It's about using the opportunities you have to improve people's lives. And I think we just need to keep not only saying that that's what we're in it for, but actually doing it.
But
being in government and doing well in government, delivering services, I think that's the only way that we, as politicians, would improve our reputation.
But just go with me quickly. Just indulge me quickly. So for you to have the position you have in the DA requires you to have a base of support, right?
Not necessarily. It requires you to have the right skills.
So you can be the national spokesperson and occupy the position you do without a base of support?
I am a national spokesperson by virtue of the fact that I have the skills required to be national.
No, I get it. So you might have
I'm
the
not
skills,
because
but
I wasn't selected because I am a powerful person.
But do
DA.
You get? Do you get?
That's not how it works in the DA.
So the DA doesn't use votes. So Musi Maimane wasn't elected as leader. He was chosen.
He was elected as leader. The national spokesperson is appointed. So you're appointed by the leader, not because you have a base there, but because you. You have the skills required.
So
the way that the list process works in the DA for public representatives, we go through interviews, several interviews, like three different interviews. So it's not really, you're not selected on whether or not you have a power base. You're selected on whether you have the skills, the qualifications required to be a public representative.
So is the DA a democratic institution then? So
how
does democracy play in this? Yeah.
Okay, so for the leadership position, for the leader of the party, provincial leader, federal executive chair, which is kind of the secretary general, the chairperson, all those positions are elected at Congress. But to become a public representative, you're not selected on the basis of whether or not you have voting support. It's based on whether or not you have skills required to be a good public representative or to be good NEC or a good premier or a good mayor or a good councillor. But then for internal democracy, so for the internal leadership positions, a Congress is held and people are put in their positions by way of an election.
And indeed, in order to get those votes, what must a leader do? Somebody who's hoping to get that position, what must they do? Must they not...
To be leader of the DA.
No. To be a leader in that internal democratic process. Are they not required to make sure that they have that base of support?
What do you mean? I'm sorry.
So you say there's a Congress. So you say there's a Congress, right? Internally within the DA. That requires you to have as many votes as possible, no?
I'm not sure I'm understanding. So if I decided I wanted to run to be provincial leader of the Northwest, if I'm elected to that position, I need to have the most votes.
No. Yes. Is that not how it works?
Yeah, that's how democracy works. That's how elections work.
Exactly. So ultimately, it is about accumulating enough power or support for yourself in order to achieve this
thing, and then to protect it.
Exactly. So we agree that politicians are wired. But wait. But even
if it's, you've been a politician. You know.
I have never been a politician. I was a useless one. That's why I'm sitting here and you're sitting there. Yeah. But I was a useless one and. Pumzile. I was a useless one, so I'm sitting here asking questions from the ones that know. So I want to. So my thing is, yeah. But having been there, this is my concern: is that we, as you guys, I'm former, but you guys as politicians, have you done a really good job? You know, and include me because I was part of it for a while as well. But have really done a good job. I'm looking at the state of the nation, and I'm thinking, sheesh, you know what? Things are not looking good, and our politicians have let us down across the board, and you know we can't. So we're going into another State of the Nation address. We're going to be given more promises. We're going to be given another review. We're going to be given more speeches. I'm sure Musi is working on something amazing this year as well. And then so what? And I think this is what the broader populace is asking. And then so what?
Yeah. So. I think for you, you have kind of taken a very negative view of politics and politicians for whatever reason.
I'm wounded.
You are wounded. I understand you're wounded, and I'm really sorry that you're wounded. I'm giving you a Bluetooth hug. But it isn't really all that bad. We do our very best, and... You know, it's really about if people feel the state of the nation is so bad, then you must you must vote the ANC out because that's the party that's the government, that's the party that framed you. So vote them out.
I just loved what happened in the last 2 minutes, so I've kept very quiet. But
have you also been a politician?
No, bringing
skeletons out of the closet. No one like Pumzile. I don't roll like that.
No, that was her card. She was waiting for it to play it. And as a good politician, she did. Pumzile, I want to know why, you know, we spoke a little bit about the benefits and what government has done right. You then gave me a very blasé answer, which I'm very disappointed about. I want to know tangible stuff. When you applaud the government in 2015, what did you applaud them on specifically? What has government done well?
What has government done well? They've in Johannesburg, and there's been great service delivery there, and they've created some employment. Look, it's not perfect, but we applaud them. Gauteng has the Gauteng economy is doing fairly well, and so in that area, and I can mention many more, they've done well. But we're saying it's not good enough, and we have to hold them to account. We can't pat you on the back for doing your job. We pat you on the back when you do over and above what you're supposed to be doing.
Can I ask you a question? And this is quite a personal question. So take the DA hat off for a second.
Yeah.
Rory started with talking about President Zuma, the man, the credibility. Have you ever felt that some of your DA supporters have attacked Zuma not on the man, not on his corruption, but on his race? And have you ever felt personally like you needed to defend Zuma by your support base because they have attacked him because he was black rather than a perceived bad president?
I can honestly say I'm taking off my DA hat from public representatives, my colleagues. I can't remember anyone attacking Zuma because he was black. But supporters, you can't always control what your supporters do. But if that has happened, and now if anyone ever attacked Zuma for being on the basis of his skin color, I almost certainly call that person out.
Pumzile, as we wrap up with you, I think you're taking it to a point where, you know, we need to just be reflective as well as these people that politicians can't control. We are ultimately the ones who are setting the tone of what's happening in the rest of the country. What is our role? So the state of the nation is as it is. Government has failed or succeeded as it has. The opposition parties have succeeded and failed as they have. Where has the ordinary man in the street succeeded, and where do we need to pull up our socks just in terms of making sure that the state of the nation improves? Ultimately, we are the nation, and we are the ones that hold politicians to account. But ultimately, we also have a responsibility, and we are partly responsible for the state that our nation is in. What have we done that's good? But what is it that we need to do as well, just to pull up our socks? Yeah. And don't say vote the ANC out. We know you're going to say that.
Helen Zille always speaks about a whole of society approach. So in order to build a better country and deal with our problems, it requires everyone to pitch in. So for example, to deal with alcohol abuse, for example, which is a big problem in the Western Cape. It requires not only government to pitch in to provide the resources, it requires NGOs, it requires churches, it requires community organizations, it requires families, it requires everyone to pitch in and do their bit. I feel sometimes, not always the case, that sometimes people leave too much to politicians and sort of hang back and wait and see what politicians will do to make things better. But it requires everyone to do their bit. I think over the last year, there's been some great organic movements that have taken place, like the Zuma Must Fall movement. Might not always agree with their tactics or what they do, but we have to admire the fact that there are people that care enough to get us off their couches, get off social media, and actually take to the streets on an issue that they care about. So I think I would like to see more, just besides voting, which is extremely important and the ultimate tool that people have to build better lives. I'd like to see people being more active, taking a bigger interest in politics, coming to parliamentary sittings, coming to committee meetings. I'd like to see people, if you don't deliver, if your services aren't being delivered, going to your municipality and holding them personally to your account. And so I'd really, really like to see more activism from South Africa's populace.
And finally, what are you hoping to hear from the State of the Nation tomorrow?
Something that I am personally very, very passionate about young people. I'm really passionate about making sure that young people have all the tools that they require to build better lives. So I'm looking to hear what President Zuma will say about university fees. What will they do to meet the current funding shortfall? That's something I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to hearing whether there'll be internship opportunities provided for our young people. What will be done for graduates? So I'm really just interested in what opportunities will be created for young people.
What is the one thing you're concerned about for tomorrow at the SONA 2016?
The one thing I'm concerned about is, once again, what I think is the most important issue is young people. I'm just worried that not enough will be done to improve the condition of our young people.
All right, there we have it from the DA themselves. Spokesperson Phumzile van Dam, thank you so much for joining us and for your time. We look forward to seeing you in your wonderful attire tomorrow at SONA 2016. You. Have yourself a lovely day and thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Let's chat again soon.
We definitely will. No. We definitely will.
No. I don't like you.
That was Phumzile van Dam from the DA, national spokesperson, having a little go at Rory. You know, when you can't attack the point, you have to attack the man. It's as simple as that. Roman says, is the show about the state of the nation or the DA? You chaps stick to the topic. Zanella says, gentlemen, please stop. She's going to cry. You guys really don't like the DA. Do you really not like the DA, Rory? Is that your thing?
No, I'm not getting it. It's not about whether I like the DA or not. They are a party in parliament. They are also in government in the Western Cape and in a number of municipalities. So the state of the nation is something that they are also responsible for. And we need to ask them what role they have played in making sure that our state of the nation is fundamentally different to where it was last year. So it's not about whether I like the DA or I don't like the DA. It's important to hold our politicians to account, as Phumzile herself said. And in order to do that, we need to ask them the tough questions, because it's very easy to just point fingers at government and say, state of the nation, you are responsible. But ultimately, they're all responsible. They're all being paid with public funds, or at least most of them are being paid with public funds. And so we need to hold them to account.
All right, we're going to be speaking to the ANC after this. Stay tuned. Hey, what
Ralph
is the Mateka real...
Is also in.
Yeah, he's also in. We'll chat to him as well. Don't worry. We're going to get Ralph
sitting here very attentively.
Sitting very attentively. He's waiting
for
his time.
You can see he's like sharpening his sword. This is going to be fun.
What is the real state of our nation? Hey, get involved. Let us know what your thoughts are. What is the real state of our nation? 2016, so not
or
tomorrow.
Giving a special lady in our lives a gift that she might not have loved as much as we expected she would. Don't leave it to chance this Valentine's Day. Spoil her with a genuine piece of Pandora jewelry, a unique gift that she will cherish forever from only 399 Rand. Visit Pandora.net to locate your nearest store or follow them on Facebook at Pandora South Africa and take the guesswork out of gifting.
Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio.
CliffCentral.com.
Frankly speaking, on cliffcentral.com, what is the real state of our nation? Of course, talking Sonar 2016, as well as looking back to yesterday. Wow, it has been a week. It feels like February is always on fire in South Africa. I really look forward to this month personally. We've got state of the nation. We've got budget speech. It's an all go for South Africa. What's wrong?
Nah, I'm still on who cares. You look forward to this.
I do.
Zuma is going to say what he says, and then what?
And then people will debate it.
Last year, he presented a 9-point plan to fix this country. Do you feel like we've seen anything fixed?
Well, that's a very good point. What do we hold to? There should be a meeting before this to say, let's reflect. There should be a reflection sonar.
Yeah.
To say, right. Okay, so those 9 points that we spoke about, how are we doing on those?
Yeah.
Because I think that's the thing that's missing. You know, like they go, yes, we talk about it. And maybe they do that in State of the Nation, but it's so boring that no one listens. And maybe that's the big problem. But let's speak to someone from the ANC now, because Hope Papo has been patiently waiting. He is the Gauteng Provincial Secretary of the ANC. Good morning to you, Hope. Thank you so much for joining us here on Cliff Central. What are you looking forward to in terms of Sonar 2016?
Good morning, and to the listeners. Obviously, we don't deal with issues as individuals. I represent an organization, the ANC in Gauteng. We are expecting the president to follow what the National Executive Committee Lekgotla decided as key priorities for the year, and which was then discussed and endorsed by the cabinet Lekgotla. That should be reflected in the budget, also in the state of the nation. There are critical issues which the Lekgotla of the ANC agreed on, the issues of the performance of the economy and how to pick up growth through various sectors of the economy, dealing with drought, dealing also with some of the issues which caused the outages last year, basically continuing to stabilize and make Eskom work. But mainly is the issue of the performance of the economy and some of the measures, the belt tightening, actually measures which have to be taken. So there is no, for us as a province, when the economy is not performing well, it affects the province, because Gauteng contributes over 30% to the gross domestic product. So we are actually looking forward to some of these measures which will assist our province.
Hope, tell us, you're referring to this cabinet Lekgotla. Just in terms of, and you're saying that the president needs to address what was agreed on by the NEC in the cabinet Lekgotla. In terms of the last cabinet Lekgotla, last year's cabinet Lekgotla until now, has the president done well as far as implementing the decisions of that Lekgotla, last year's one?
Let me correct you. The president is not an individual. He works with a team in the cabinet.
Mm.
The NEC Lekgotla made an assessment of the performance of last and the mid-year Lekgotla.
Yes.
because the NEC holds a quota, cabinet holds a quota, because the ANC directs what happens in government. But the assessment is that the performance of the world economy and our own economy affected some of the targets which we were supposed to have achieved.
Mm.
So we need to do certain extraordinary measures to ensure that the economy begins to grow. Obviously, we are part of the world economy. When commodity prices are down, it impacts negatively on revenue because mining industry and other sectors of the economy which exports will not be able to get money through exports. So we are affected by that. So our view is that we also need these measures which both the National Executive Committee, the Khotla, and the Cabinet, the Khotla, agreed. The president cannot actually come with his personal opinions on how things should run. It should be on what was agreed at the cabinet Lekhotla.
So was it a joint decision to fire Minister Nene?
Was it a what?
Was it a joint decision to fire Minister Nene from the finance ministry?
That is why, for example, the collective of the organization managed to ensure that decision is reversed.
Okay, so in that instance, he acted unilaterally.
No, he acted within the powers of appointment. Our own policy is a collective decision. The president in the constitution has prerogative to appoint and fire a minister. So you're confusing two issues.
No, but now you're also confused because you're saying that then if he has the prerogative to do as he did, now you made sure that he reverses the decision. So you went against
the
his
power,
prerogative.
The power to appoint is with him, but obviously he could have chosen not to listen because that power is in the constitution. But on policy matters, it's a cabinet collective decision. There's no president who makes policy in South Africa.
Hope, we spoke to one of your counterparts, Phumzile Van Dam from the DA, and we started the conversation talking about President Zuma himself. Of course, the party makes decisions, not the leader. We saw, Minister Nene, that wasn't a decision made by the party. But we've also seen that Gauteng ANC has been very critical of President Zuma and his leadership responsibilities. Is the president seriously weakened? Can we take him seriously tomorrow at SONAR, given the Concord decisions yesterday and so on, and previous events?
Gauteng has never criticized President Zuma. We actually have got issues as a province within the ANC.
Paul Mashatile has never criticized President Zuma. Are you sure about this?
No, what I'm saying, you say ANC, Gauteng criticized President Zuma. Can you give an example of when you criticized President Zuma?
The individuals who represent the Gauteng legislature, let me rephrase, the individuals that have represented the Gauteng ANC have been very critical.
No,
do they not represent the ANC?
ANC, our PEC, raises opinions within the ANC on matters which we have views on. And normally those views, I'll give you an example. The ANC opens nominations for elections of national leaders. Gauteng nominated Comrade Khalema. That view was defeated at the National Conference. It's not a view. Once the decision was actually not supported by the rest of the country, we no longer held that view. It's not a view we hold permanently against Comrade President Zuma. We're exercising a choice of leadership nominations in the ANC. Immediately after the conference, we went to our branches and requested them to support the leadership, which was actually elected. So I'm saying that we normally do that within the ambit of the ANC. When there are policy discussions towards a policy conference, we express our opinions as a Gauteng collective. A number of our opinions get adopted at national level. For example, we agreed that the Integrity Commission must have very strong powers. That view was accepted by the National General Council. So we do that within the discussions of the ANC.
Hope, we see that the Gauteng government is driving a program called Ntirisano, a service
yes.
delivery program, and it seems to be doing quite well. You know, it's a visible program. We're seeing the premier on the ground, talking to communities, and it seems to be a well coordinated effort. You know, there's a war room, and there's a war room at all the levels of provincial government. Last year's SONA, the president Jacob Zuma announced a 9-point plan. And we haven't seen, it hasn't been branded, and we didn't really see activity that seemed to be coordinated in a similar fashion to Gauteng. Do you think that Gauteng just has performed better than national government at just implementing the things that it said it wanted to implement?
Let me start. We're not the Federal Republic of South Africa. The 9-point plan report was given at the NEC Lokota. And there are a number of things. For example, the ocean economy forms part of the 9-point plan. And you know there are a number of things which have happened in that area of work. So our assessment is that the impact of the performance of the economy, as I said, affected some of the targets, but we are on course. I think we're working also with the Gauteng government, works very well with national departments as part of the result. And by the way, the war room was adopted at the last year, Lokota, for all the provinces to adopt that style. We implemented KZN Hess, it Northwest, they've got Sibutani. It's called different names, but ultimately coordination of national, provincial, and local government. So from our side, ministers and deputy ministers, in a number of programs which the Gauteng government embarks on, they respond positively to issues which relate to national government. So it's a cooperative and because some of the things Gauteng can do without the cooperation of national departments. So Nderesano works very well with national departments.
You also have your efforts around the Gauteng city region and so on. So you're seemingly doing a lot as Gauteng. So would you say that the state of the province is possibly, or sentiment around the state of the province is possibly much better than the sentiment around the state of the nation, because we can't hide away from the fact that there's just a general negative sentiment that we're facing a possible downgrade, credit downgrade to junk status. We've got the drought. We've got all sorts of the currency situation. Things just don't feel like they're going well for the ordinary South African. Does this feel any better in Gauteng as opposed to the rest of the nation?
The performance of the economy is a national phenomenon. The cost of living is high for everybody. I told you that the performance of the economy it varies. It depends on it's not a simplistic thing that you fire the minister, therefore the economy underperforms. Underperformance of the economy was there even before the change of
government. But did it impact? Did the firing of the minister impact the performance of the economy?
Yeah, but I'm saying that the problem is that you are coming with a very simplistic answer.
Give me a simplistic answer then. I asked you a simplistic question. Give me a simplistic answer.
You want to pit Gauteng against national government. I'm not going to agree.
No, but you are a leader. You are a leader in Gauteng. I'm trying to understand. So
no,
I'm
mean,
trying to understand.
I mean, it's not
hope.
It's not that
hope. Just wait
give
a minute.
Fandame. Fandame belongs to the DA. They've got a way of operating.
Exactly.
We are one organization. We follow national policies. My sense is that the impact is also felt in Gauteng. Gauteng attracts everybody here. For opportunity. If the economy doesn't perform, it also impacts negatively.
So you're saying the 16% lack of trust that's reported, apparently the levels of trust in government are sitting at 16% right now, according to a report. Are you saying that the Gauteng government has the same level of trust from its people? You're saying it's a national issue, right? So are you saying,
that the trust levels in Gauteng are
sitting at 16%?
The first province which will actually have an impact will be our province, because it attracts people from everywhere. So when things are difficult for the country, the impact is felt here in Gauteng. Obviously, in Gauteng, because there are a lot of expectations, people are here from everybody, there's a lot of expectations. There are many things expected from our province because of the contribution to the national economy and a whole range of other things. Services, we receive 40,000 plus students every year from everywhere else coming here. So I'm saying that the expectations usually for Gauteng are higher. And therefore, every sector of the Gauteng population has to actually put in an extra effort. Government is trying to do that. But all those efforts have to be supported in some measure by national government.
Hope, where do you think that the ANC / government / the Gauteng legislature didn't do a good job in 2015?
In 2015.
Mm-hmm.
There are areas, obviously, where we can do better. There are particularly, for example, some of the sectors which Gauteng targeted for growth were negatively affected by the overall performance of the economy. For example, there are certain sectors in manufacturing, which we agreed are key sectors, key areas, because the sector is far bigger. At our PEC Lekgotla this past weekend, we agreed that we need to actually do a little bit more in the area of manufacturing, because when you expand manufacturing, you are able to create more jobs, you are able to end export, which assists to the balance of payments, because you earn in euros. So we looked at that. We looked at basic services. There are still pockets within our public service, for example, which is public servants who are tardy, who don't think that they behave as if they owe people people owe them an apology for working in the public service. We need to deal with the ethos of the public service to ensure that people serve our people better. There's more we can do, for example, about clean townships, clean village, informal settlements, all those cleanliness broadly within the province. We can do better. We can do better in water saving, because as Gauteng, with the huge population, if we don't save water adequately and continue to save energy, we also can do better on the decision we took on reviving the power stations, both in Joburg, and we must accelerate the progress there. At least the initial work has already started. Those are some of the areas I think the provincial government and municipalities can do a little better.
So, Hope, I don't know how much of a sports fan you are. I'm quite a big sports fan in certain areas.
I'm a sports fan myself.
Are you Chiefs or Pirates? Tell me.
Let me just reserve my
Okay, so let me give you an example, because I
support neither of the two.
I see. Okay, so you're a Swallows fan. I like that. No, that's good. That's good.
I'm a Mamelodi Sundowns.
You're not even in the province, for heaven's sakes. Oh, that's just Okay, let me give you an example of where I think it must be difficult for you, Hope, personally, in the Gauteng legislature, because if you have a strike,
I'm not in the Gauteng legislature.
Sorry,
I went full time for the organization
for the ANC.
Yes,
but you are the secretary.
I used to be in the legislature. I had to resign in the end of 2014 after being elected as secretary.
So, what position do you hold right now, Hope?
For 17 years, yes.
What position in the ANC do you hold right now?
I'm the provincial secretary, the full-time position for 4 years.
Okay. Now, I can just imagine, and here comes the sports analogy, so bear with me, because I don't do well with analogies normally. Back in the late 90s, early 90s, late 90s, Mark Batchelor used to play for Kaizer Chiefs. And we all remember that Mark Batchelor had some great times, and then he had some very, very poor, poor times. And you used to see the crowds at the old FNB Stadium circling their hands as a kind of substitution method. And no one in Kaizer Chiefs would ever criticize Mark Batchelor, right? Because, I mean, he's a teammate, of course. You know, you have to support your teammates. But everyone knew as soon as Mark Batchelor would leave, then, and a better striker would come, Kaizer Chiefs would score more goals, then therefore they would actually increase their positioning on the PSL log at the time. Is that the case? Is that the feeling that you have with President Zuma? Is he just not a good striker, but you have to support him because he's part of your team?
As a person who played sport, sport is not governed by logic and principle. Just 90 minutes of madness in soccer. So I think those of us who know how the organization functions, they know we raise our issues. The difference with us is that we raise issues within the structures of the ANC. They know if we've got an issue, we raise it. Our view is that President Zuma and the national leadership were elected democratically by all of us, which are our leaders. So I think the analogy is a bit of a misplacement, because you know at soccer. So my own view is that the performance of the president and the collective of the ANC can only be evaluated by people at the polls.
Don't you think though it would be really helpful, and actually, I mean, it would be an amazing moment if the ANC actually came out and openly, publicly said or was critical of members of their own party.
No, that's not how the ANC works.
I understand that.
President Mandela explained this many times.
No, I understand that. Listen, we've definitely gone past President Mandela, but I understand that. But what I'm trying to say is, don't you think it would be better? I mean, when we had young Jaka Zulu, when Nene was fired, and he openly went on Twitter and said, this is outrageous, this is unbelievable. It gave him credibility amongst young people to say...
Jaka Zulu does not... He was expressing a personal opinion, not a view of the...
Absolutely. And isn't that okay? Isn't that a good thing?
And he was out of order. He knows he was out of order, Jaka Zulu.
So you think he was out of order?
Because platforms in the organization, a majority of people will always test the ANC support. It does not mean there are no weaknesses. ANC is one of the organizations which always admits weaknesses. It's one of the few organizations which publicly even acknowledges its own internal organizational weaknesses. We don't know about weaknesses in many other parties, but ANC will publicly acknowledge when there are weaknesses, even in the party.
Is the president a source of weakness at the moment, Mr. Babu?
Well, we support our president.
Yes, but is he a source of weakness at the moment?
No, I cannot say that. I cannot say that. That's why I'm saying you are trying to actually pit our province against national leadership of the ANC. We are not agreeing to that line.
We're not pitting you against it. We're trying to just understand.
What you just now, we're you want trying me to condemn the president of the ANC.
Okay, let's talk about that. Yeah, you because your job relies on it. I get it.
It's
but
not
let's
my
just,
job.
Let's
I'm
just
so
let's just understand. You guys have the Gauteng Pillars of Radical Transformation, right? The Gauteng Pillars of Radical Transformation, a 10-point plan over the next 5 to 15 years that the Gauteng provincial government aims to implement. If the president tomorrow was to introduce a plan for how you spoke earlier about how we need to just do something radical to turn things around in the state of our nation, what are the sorts of things, if you were to list three, what are the sorts of things that you
think?
We have
to implement decisions. For example, we took a decision on the pharmaceutical industry that we need a public pharmaceutical company to deal with cost of medicines which directly impact on the health of our country. We took a decision to strengthen the mining company so that the state has got a very, very strong say in strategic minerals. We must speed up that decision. It's very, very important for the now we're dealing with problems of steel and so on. We need a very, very strong presence of the state in strategic minerals. We have to implement we only have pilots currently on NHI. So the NHI, the area of strategic minerals, the area of pharmaceuticals and broader economy. We need to implement decisions. So we don't need a new nine-point plan. We need speedy implementation of the nine-point plan.
And as we wrap up, Hope, Obama, in his and I know that he might not necessarily be a point of reference for the ANC, but his last State of the Union address, he said we should not fear the future; we should shape it. As the ANC, if you were to try and give us a sense of how we should go about shaping the future, particularly as ordinary citizens who generally tend to feel powerless. You know, for example, when the Minister of Finance was fired, the public felt powerless, really, to what was going on. All we could do was tweet and go onto social media, but ultimately we're not the ones that make the decisions. So help us to understand, as ordinary citizens, if we are going to shape this future in the way that we want it, and to fundamentally transform the state of our nation, what should we as ordinary citizens do on the ground?
The advice I can give is that citizens of our province particularly should continue participating in various platforms, in education, in safety, There are platforms which have been created for people to participate.
Give us an example of one such platform, just so people know what to look for.
For example, when schools, that's where our kids attend. There are many things which sometimes go wrong there because we are absent. There are community policing forums which are not accountable sometimes. Police are not accountable at local level. Residents can make them be accountable. In areas where community policing forums are strong, police are accountable. We've got in the health sector, there are actually clinic committee, hospital boards. We need to participate. Where there are no platforms, we must create platforms. Professional associations must be formed to confront racism at work. All those things, the message is that participate, let's participate, because if we don't participate, wrong things will happen.
And finally, as part of the Gauteng Pillars of Radical Transformation, you speak about accelerated social transformation being one of these pillars. We know how the year started. We know how you know it exposed a lot of the deep cracks in society and the way we get along. What would your message be to just South Africans about how we fix that? Because that is a worrying state of our nation, just the relations that we have and the fact that after 21 years or more, we're still where it almost feels like we're where we started.
For us, we've requested all our branches to actually initiate dialogue, intersectoral dialogue, but obviously the law must apply. We must be firm on the application of the law and the use of the Equality Court. But racism and tribalism are taught to children by adults. So the message is that adults should stop teaching children tribalism, to be tribalistic and racist. So that's the message. So in the dialogue, our branches have to initiate as part of the task for the year. This issue has to be confronted. Children are not born tribalistic and racist. They are taught by their families and other people in the community. That's one of the issues we must confront. We must also confront the issue of are we using, as I said, the Equality Court? Because the Equality Court is supposed to deal with instances like that, those ones, tribalism, racism, sexism. Now we're talking about racism. So it's important that we dialogue as South Africans. We continue dialoguing, but obviously people who don't want to actually be part of the new South Africa, there has to be consequences for those.
Mr. Papa, before we leave you, what are you looking forward to in SONA 2016 tomorrow?
What am I looking up to?
What are you looking forward to?
For the state of the nation.
That's correct.
We're actually looking at as a province the more intense implementation of the 9-point plan, because the Lakota didn't agree on changing any the 9-point plan, but we need cooperation of all sectors to get the 9-point plan implemented. Because our view is that if that plan is implemented, it will help grow the economy. It will help deal with some of the problems of poverty, inequality, and unemployment.
All right, Hope Papo, thank you so much joining us from the ANC's camp. He is the secretary of the Gauteng province in the ANC. That sounded to me, Rory, just as he left us, that he didn't believe that the 9-point plan was implemented well in 2015. But would he ever say it?
Well, he wouldn't. You know, he did say that he works. He's a full-time employee of the ANC, so his boss is Jacob Zuma. But hey, look, so he accuses us of trying to pit the Gauteng province against the rest of the organization. But, you know, It's almost plain to see just how it seems that the Gauteng province is just a lot more organized than national at this stage. And we have to ask then, what's the difference? What is Gauteng doing right? I mean, even the DA congratulated service delivery in Joburg. So there's clearly something right that's happening in Gauteng that doesn't feel like is happening nationally. And we need to ask why. This is the same organization. So assumedly they have access to the same resources. Why are we not seeing making it happen? Maybe we should ask somebody who's a lot smarter than the two of us, Andrew. Ralph Matega, Managing Director of Clear Content Research and Consulting and Political analyst has been sitting here listening attentively, laughing at us and saying, these guys, they don't know how to ask these people the right questions.
Well, before we do that, I just want to bring everyone back to speed. We are talking about the real state of our nation here on Frankly Speaking. It's Cliff Central 9 to 11. If you've missed any of it, the DA, the ANC, they've gone head to head. Catch it on the podcast, cliffcentral.com/Frankly Speaking. Ralph, it's your turn. It is your turn. You've been so patient.
Well, it has been great fun listening to politicians avoiding answering questions, you know, digging and diving about it and answering only those that are comfortable with. And I'm going to start with the question around Gauteng. But let me correct that. I've recently been working at Mistra as the head of political economy faculty. My job is to also look at political economy, policy implementation and so forth. And, you know, the issue with Gauteng, let's be frank about it. I heard you guys, this is frank.
Yes, talk. Frankly speaking.
Look, Gauteng, there is no doubt that Gauteng ANC sees national leadership of the ANC as a liability. I mean, if you go back to how they have dealt with some of how they've interacted with the national leadership, I'll take you back to elections, 2014 elections, where actually Gauteng attempted not to have President Jacob Zuma's face on the T-shirt when they were campaigning. They were called to order. But what is important is the thought process that they began. Maybe their risk analysis shows them that actually they're taking a beating in Gauteng because of things that have got nothing to do with the locality, the physical place of Gauteng, but it's got a lot to do with the policy blunders at national level. And I think there was a picture that also made circulation by Gauteng executives sometimes last year. Premier Makhura, kind of men and women in black, kind of the picture showing that the Gauteng is ready. And that picture actually, sentiments were that it didn't draw much on the colors of the ANC. It looked as if there were some efforts there to distance themselves from the liability of the national leadership. So there is no doubt about it that Gauteng is concerned about the impact of some of the blunders at national level. An example, I think if you do an analysis of the impact of the Nkandla issue, you'll find that it disproportionately have political implications in Gauteng than it does in other provinces.
Even in KZN.
Certainly, because of the nature of the province where the ANC in Gauteng find itself in. This is a province where you have a rapid flow of information. You've got different radio stations like this one, easily accessible within the radius of Johannesburg. And that shows that you're going to have much more, people have got much more access to information than it is the case elsewhere. Hence, the work of the ANC in Gauteng, it's cut for the party there in Gauteng. Even the DA acknowledges they are doing better because the stakes are quite high in Gauteng. They are pushed to actually work much better than it is the case with other provinces. And also the competition, electoral competition in Gauteng is much more intense than you can say about Limpopo and other provinces. So there's no doubt about the differences.
Yeah, Ralph, another year, another sauna. Who cares?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you. I'll be honest with you. I'm just hoping to see to hear a speech, because there is a possibility there might not be. I mean, last year we started the year on the same issue of disruption, where there were indications that almost the speech didn't happen last year. And this year we have had EFF saying that they are going to ask the president to respond on the Ntlantlanene issue. I was reading a report yesterday where Floyd Shivambu is being quoted as having said that he's going to use one of the rules actually to interject the president and ask about the question of Ntlantlanene. So before we can even talk about the speech, the question is the president in a position to even think about the speech? I mean, look at what has happened the week. Look at what has happened at the beginning of the year. Look at what has happened last year. There is, in economics, there is the term called opportunity cost. If you are busy digging a hole, it means that you can't be having a cup of coffee at the same time. If you are busy defending yourself on the scandal of Nkandla, that actually has been one of the major opportunity costs the entire last year. Certainly you ask yourself, is the president really worried about the state of the nation? Is he in the state of mind to actually reflect about the state of the nation? And my answer to that, unfortunately, is not in affirmative. I think the president is drawn in personal survival than being worried about the state of the nation.
How, you know, take the average man back slightly, Ralph. How is Sona put together? Is the president very involved in compiling Sona, or does he just literally get handed a couple of pages and, you know, get going and make sure that you pronounce the numbers here correctly as well? How involved is he?
Well, we know the president who has been writing letters recently, Tawambegu, used to do quite a lot of writing on the sauna. And clearly, you know, he will put together his director general and various, you know, senior managers within government to help him about putting together that speech and highlighting priority areas. But with the current situation, I think it will most likely be prepared for the president. I mean, I don't like to trivialize things, and I don't like to just be pedantic about this. Sometimes you can see the president read the speech as if he hasn't seen the speech, It's just there, and I don't want to attack the president's reading thing ability and so forth. But I think
that was a low blow by me. That was a low blow.
You know,
by me.
I think
apologize.
He's distanced from yeah. that. You know.
Ralph, just to interject there, did you also get the sense from Hope or that you know he was speaking about that he must go out there and say what the NEC Lokotla has said he must say? Did you get the sense, or was it just me that there's just this thing of, you know, stay on the leash? We are go out there and say what you need to say, do not move from the script. Are we getting a sense that you know, they're just saying go and do as we say, we no longer want to hear what you have to say about this?
You know, I've got great respect for Mr. Babu. I've shared a platform with him actually at the Gauteng legislature, where we have had our discussion there. I get invited to reflect on some of the issues, and I think it's very clear he was going by the script. You know, and we've always differed on certain things with great respect, and I think that's the beauty in South Africa. We can differ and both of us still see the light of the day. I think he was just going by the script. That is why he was contradicting himself. When it comes to progress, you will point to certain things that are happening in Gauteng. But when it comes to failures of the national leadership and how they impact upon Gauteng, there is suddenly this idea of the collective. We know the reason why there is a premier. We know the reason why there are chapters. We are not a federal state, no doubt about it. But the province is responsible for implementation of some of the priorities that are identified at national level. And the national itself, where it's responsible, seems to be failing in some areas. And the Gauteng province has done well. Even the DA agrees that the Gauteng province has done much better. Unfortunately, the tradition within the ANC is such that Gauteng province cannot be allowed to celebrate their own success, because that will then say a lot about lack of that in other areas, especially at national level.
I think, you know, corporate South Africa is extremely worried. We saw how they caused huge upheaval when Minister Nene was removed, not only on Twitter, but I'm sure behind closed doors. Apparently, Cyril was even threatening of resigning as well if that wasn't changed. We now see that our growth rate in South Africa is 0.7%. Mm-hmm. You know, President Zuma said that he wanted to get us to 5% by 2019. It looks like a far cry away. What do we expect in SONAR this year in order to try and combust or build or this economy and the slow growth rate?
You know, the economy, it's the most important. And I think if the president spent at least 2/3 of the speech about the economy, if it's possible, just to talk about how he's going to restore trust between government and the private sector. As you correctly state, the crisis in South Africa, it's also the crisis of confidence. I think that the private sector has lost confidence in the president's ability to drive the economy and make decisions. And when you talk about 0.7% growth, I always say to people that actually, if you leave the economy alone, go home, shut the door, don't do anything, it will still grow by 7%. You don't have to be doing anything about that. So I think we need to get away from this idea that we are growing at 7% as if we are directing it. We are not growing, period. Let's get that. And the target that we are setting ourselves, about 5%, will require a radical shift from what we are doing. The biggest problem, if you talk to people in the private sector, you talk to people from Wall Street who will ask questions about South Africa. I've had conversation with people at that level. The biggest problem is a lack of certainty as to what is going to happen. At this point, no one knows why the president fired Nhlanhla Nene. No one can tell you what was the criteria that was used. Hence, no one knows.
The BRICS Bank. Don't you guys read? He said the BRICS Bank, the man is due to take up a position at BRICS, and so he had to be relieved of his duties. Isn't that what the president said?
That's what he said. It doesn't make sense at all. Will that really serve as a criteria for decision making? Actually, had he stuck by that decision, maintained Mr. Van Rooyen, and refused and said the BRICS bank, maybe we'll say South Africa is overcommitted. But then he makes a turnabout, employs another minister of finance. Then we are saying that, oh my God, he stumbled into a better minister of finance, Pravin Gordhan. But you don't know what is the criteria that he has used. And even within the ANC, you don't really get an explanation as to what happened. The ANC picks the pieces, go into the public relations spin and say we are standing behind the president on this. It's not working, and I think the markets are very worried about that lack of certainty, the unpredictability of South Africa's economic machinery, particularly when it comes to decision makers.
You know, I always get concerned, just generally, guys, about people like Hope Bapo and their stance on things to defend the president tooth and nail. Puts them in a very, very worrying position, because if a new president comes, they will get swept out, right? And, you know, Kaya or Gab on WeChat says, is it necessary for the EFF to bring us to our knees to create a new country, a better country? Do you think that that's what's needed? Do you think that we need to get rid of the ANC completely in government, get the EFF in, get the DA to do whatever the DA does, and start again?
That's unfair to the DA.
I think
what's wrong now, Rory? Speak up to the mic here.
It's unfair on the DA. Be nice to the DA. You know, did you see somebody was saying that we don't like the DA?
And now I've just said that. I'm sorry. I apologize. Okay.
I think there are a lot of people within the DA themselves who don't like the DA. It's fine.
Let's go back. I mean, do you think that that's what's needed? Do we need to take out the entire ANC?
You know what? You're asking a question that actually concerns me a lot. I'm worried about the means through which attempts are being made to take out the ANC has been elected into power. They've got 62%, and they might bungle, and they're bungling, there is no doubt, but I don't think they're bungling on everything. And I'm not a member of the ANC. I can put it out there.
I'm critical
of the ANC. But what worries me is the manner in which some of us are pushing for the change in administration. You can boot the ANC out without using the normal process or at the polls. But the problem is that we are laying a precedent that says that you can do this over and over. My position on this has been that if citizens could change government anytime they feel like, you will have chaos. That is why, in order to take out the president, for example, of the ANC now, the EFF will have to lobby people in parliament. I prefer that kind of a process where the EFF can go. If they think it is a worthy cause, they then lobby members of the ANC in parliament. Then they pass a motion of no confidence. They cannot do it alone. They should not be allowed to do it alone, because in that way, it brings a lot of chaos into the country. You will have another government, and when that government passes an unpopular legislation, maybe it increases the tax. What do? You take it out after a week. If you think that the rotation of government is a solution, look at Greece. They are having a new government probably every month or so, but still they are in a crisis. And I think what we need to do as South Africans, we need to start reflecting now to strengthen the accountability mechanism. We can do that without necessarily taking out the government. We can wait for another 4 or so years until the elections. And my view is that citizens need to reflect deeply. Citizens need to understand that when they vote today, they're going to have to live with the responsibility of those leaders they voted until the next elections. And I think that South Africans have got this tendency of distancing themselves from their vote. And I don't think they should be allowed to do that. They must live with this government that they voted for, interact with this government to do things right, or decide to take it out in the normal process.
I'm guilty of that.
Well, I am. We all
know. I've never voted in a municipal election.
We all know who I voted for. We all know what party I voted for. So let's not even go there. Ralph, let's play a game. Hit or miss. So in the 2015 SONA, President Zuma spoke of a 9-point plan to ignite growth and create jobs. Which of these plans do you think was a hit, and which ones do you think was a miss, and why? So there was resolving the energy challenge. Was that a hit or miss in the past year?
Almost getting there when it comes to the energy challenge. It's just that, you see the problem. It's not always about the substance of the decisions by President Jacob Zuma. If you look at the attempts to stabilize Eskom and, you know, to even consider the energy issue and all that, the nuclear issue, it's not the substance. It is the legitimacy of the president to make the decisions. And I think what we are doing as a nation, and I want to put that out clear, is that some people are so upset with the president that they want to vandalize any of those substance decisions. The crisis in South Africa is not that we don't have ideas and all. It's about the man or the party that is making those decisions. And if you lose credibility to make decisions, each and every policy that you make decision upon is viewed with suspicion. I think that is that. But from the substantive point of view, we are not doing too badly when it comes to resolving the energy crisis. We haven't had this blackout in a long time, except in my neighborhood. I get it once a week and also. But generally, generally, it's not too bad. There is progress that you can see only if you look at the substance.
Revitalizing agriculture and the agro-processing value chain, hit or miss?
I think that South Africa doesn't take agriculture seriously. I think that is a footnote of our economy. We don't put it up there. And if you look into the fact that we are largely still a very rural-based country, and I think that our rural economic policy, it's not really doing well. I'm saying this because I spend a lot of time in rural areas. I go to Free State, I go to Limpopo, to the Eastern Cape. I don't think we are extracting as much as we can from the agriculture. There is a lot of lip service about this, and I think that one, it's not doing so well at all.
Okay, so that's a miss. Advancing beneficiation or adding value to our mineral wealth, hit or miss?
The mining industry, it's been decimated. I mean, look at the strike, what is going on within the mineral sector. Actually, talks are that you need to just, run away from that sector. You need to diversify. You need to do something else. You can't continue relying on that. The tensions are so high within the mineral sector that actually I don't think you should still see it as a strategic area when it comes to growth. So I think that they haven't done much within the because while they were trying to look into this thing of beneficiation, you're looking at mines being closed. You are looking at the commodity price being very bad. The so-called super cycle with the commodity price has come to an end. Mines are going to face closure, Anglo retrenchment, Lonmin on its knees. And I think it will take another 20 or so years maybe for the commodity price to peak. So it's a wasted effort.
Foreign direct investment is down 25% since 2010 in the mining industry. That's scary.
I'll ask a simple question. If you have 20 billion rands, you are sitting in Wall Street, would you put it in South Africa? I wouldn't do that because I'm not sure about the policy environment. This is what government need to do. Maybe that is what the state of the nation need to cement, to say that South Africa is committed to something else. Are you committed to fiscal discipline? You committed to stabilizing the monetary policy? You need to be able to do that, because if you can't do that, forget about foreign direct investment. You're going to lose more, actually.
Ralph, I want us to actually come back to that point, but let's just do a quick hit and miss on the rest of them, and then I want us to come back to your issue of policy certainty. More effective implementation of a higher impact industrial policy action plan?
No, it's a miss.
Okay. Encouraging private sector investment?
A complete disaster.
Moderating workplace conflict?
Social tension rising, miss.
Unlocking the potential of small, medium and micro enterprises, cooperative townships and rural enterprises?
The minister spent 600 and something million traveling around. The minister, Lindiwe Zulu, it's a miss. Does your department designate for that?
State reform and boosting the role of state-owned companies, information and communications technology infrastructure and broadband rollout?
SAA public enterprises, a miss. Disaster.
Operation Pagisa, aimed at growing the ocean economy in other sectors.
There are still potentials there. I think that's mixed.
So the state of the nation is not very good. Two out of nine. So
2 out of 9?
Yeah.
9-point plan. Apologies, you see. So that's not even in a pass at matric level, which is a problem. Ralph, we're speaking to Ralph Matega. He is part of Mistra, and we're talking about the state of our nation. It's been 2 hours of incredible conversation. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on the student voice. We've got a student who's going to be joining us in just a little bit. But the student uprisings of last year, fees must fall, roads must fall. What's the influence of this, and how do you think it'll affect government?
You know, this is a complex issue, and I know a lot of people will cut my head for this. I have a problem in the manner in which certain goals are achieved, the precedents that are being laid before you achieve certain goals. And put aside, I think the students have done well for themselves by actually taking this issue further. But the manner in which it has been achieved, I think it doesn't put our system in a good shape, doesn't put our system in a good light. First of all, why do you need to push against the fence of parliament and union building in order to get that kind of a concession for students? Why is our political system such that students have to go to this kind of an extreme before they can be able to achieve such goals? And my concern as well, and this goes to the ANC, it goes to opposition parties, goes to the DA and EFF, is why couldn't they have taken this issue through the formal process in parliament and took a position on this issue and achieved those? So the goals, yes, and the issues here are very important. But I'm worried about the manner in which those goals were achieved. What does it say about our society? Do we have to bend down a building each and every time we can progress when it comes to achieving such kind of goals?
Well, let's talk to a student who was involved. It is Faisha Hassan. She is the Secretary General of the SRC Adverts. Ralph Matecha has asked you, why do we need to burn buildings in order to be heard? How would you respond to that?
Well, I think the first thing we have to note is that in any struggle, there is a form and really a space for militant action. But let me qualify that and be very, very clear. Where there is a focus and a proper goal that then determines what action needs to happen, that's okay. But the fact is, when one burns a library and then calls for free education, there's a hypocritical level there. And we've never done that at Britain. At which we've never, ever burnt library. We haven't even threatened to burn those libraries because one cannot say, hey, we're going to burn the library, and then tomorrow free education comes, where must we study? There's a disconnect. But there is a space for radical action, such as when we closed down and shut down universities across the country. That was a militant and a radical action, but it had a purpose.
Faisha, tell me something. Did you ever try...
My name is Fasiha.
Fasiha, apologies. Thank apologies you. For that. No Fasiha. Fasiha, tell me, did you ever try and engage government on these issues of free education, and were you not heard and therefore needed to do the actions you did?
There have been many opportunities that government have had. There have been many meetings that we've sat in with the Ministry of Higher Education and Training. And the unfortunate fact of the matter is that they really haven't yet come to the party. And I mean, given the fact that we've got SONA coming up now, we are really hoping to hear something positive, not just in terms of funding of the higher education space, but we need to hear something about the political will to really provide free and quality education for the poor.
Do young people actually care about SONA? I mean, are you going to be watching this with intent? I mean, is there a feeling of, this old man must just do his thing and then we'll just deal with it later?
Well, I think that the youth of this country have shown not just the presidency, but I think the country and the world as a whole, that a mobilized and united youth can really shake the core of an unjust system. And I think given the context in which we for now find ourselves, of course we're going to be watching SONA. Of course we're going to be listening intently. This is an opportunity for the government to really talk about the issues that they haven't really been addressing before. Whether they do or not is a different story. You know, we can have a discussion afterwards. But we definitely all ears for tomorrow.
Fasiha, so tomorrow is SONA, and we're asking, what is the real state of our nation? We know that politicians are going to do what politicians do, and maybe even paint a wonderful picture about what's happening in the country. But as a student, you're at the coalface of issues in our country. If you had to deliver a state of the nation in a tweet, what would you say?
In one tweet. let's start. But I think the most important thing that needs to really be said is that as much as it's a post-1994 space, as much as we have a constitution and we have rights on paper, the unfortunate fact of the matter is that the reality on the ground has not changed, especially not economically. And I think the youth of this country are now finally saying, hold on, yes, it's 22 years after the advent and the end of apartheid. I mean, we're all born free. But we're not in the space where we want to be. We're not happy with the state of the nation. We're not happy not just with higher education, but gender issues around the country, whether it be healthcare, whether it be small things such as service delivery, roads.
Fasiha, do students have solutions to all of these, or are they just raising issues and concerns?
We've developed many a think tank. What we're starting to do now is, particularly for higher education, we're trying to encourage a conscientization on an intellectual level. So what we're saying is, let's read some research papers. Let's come together in a group and debate it. Let's look at solutions to the education crisis, structural solutions that are not just us protesting. And we must be very clear that when one protests, there must be due research happened before that, so that when one comes to that space, we know exactly what we're fighting for and we have a proposed solution.
But how can we expect the youth to lead the transformation of the country when the youth itself, you know, for example, the fees must fall situation, we know that there are different formations even amongst the students. So you're unable to unite amongst yourselves as a first problem. Two is that you're unable to deal with issues. So, for example, we're seeing reports of people walking around and also graffitiing things like fuck white people on campus. The youth, within its domain of influence, let's call it the campus, doesn't seem to be doing a very good job of what it expects government to do across the whole country. How do we trust what the youth is saying?
I must disagree with you.
Yes.
I think that the youth of South Africa, particularly university students, brought this country down to its knees in a matter of 10 days. And we must be very clear that as much as there are different factions and different groups within a movement, that is only natural in the state of a democracy. Our banner and our call remains, and this is across the board, that of free and quality education. And yes, you're right, it is not the job of students to run the country yet. We're training ourselves to do that. But we must be involved, and we must be intrinsically part of the think tank and the understanding of the solutions that we want to have. Because part of our criticism is that politicians behind closed doors are making decisions without truly understanding what the reality on the ground is. Mm. And no movement and no revolution is ever going to be smooth sailing. Mm. There are always going to be different opinions. But I think that this one call, this one banner, post-1994, has been something that has united the youth like nothing else yet. Since 1976.
All right, Fasiha Hassan, the Secretary General of the SRC at WITS, thank you so much for joining us and thank you for giving your views. We appreciate it and we look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thank you very much.
Ralph, I think as we wrap up, are things really as bad as they seem?
Well, you know, perception is as important as reality. If you look at the facts on the ground, I mean, I was just hearing a young person say nothing is happening on the ground. That's not true, you know. Mm-hmm. NSFAS continue to sponsor a lot of poor students, and they've gone through university. I partially went through VETS with some funds from the NSFAS as well. So you can't say nothing works. Mm-hmm. But I think what we have as a nation, it's the loss of trust with the leadership, which makes things look quite gloom. I don't think things are too bad on the ground. There are people who come here, look at some of the programs that we are doing to see how we have come up with such kind of programs. The, you know, the youth, this thing of youth employment incentive, those are some of the efforts on the ground that you could say they are genuine efforts and they are genuine mistakes as well. I think what needs to be done, though, is government needs to work on its own reputation and they need to cut out on the amount of scandals they dish out as the administration and as the party, because that is going to undermine some of the substantive progress that they've made.
So you're actually proposing that they get rid of Jacob Zuma, because it seems most of the scandals, a disproportionate amount of the scandals of government come through the president's office.
You know, someone said to me that would the ANC get rid of Jacob Zuma? I said that if he were President Jacob Zuma, would you get rid of yourself? He's in charge now, so that's not going to happen.
Well, I think it's interesting that you say that, Rory and Ralph, because it makes actions like Lindiwe's action, private jets around the country for 600 million, mm-hmm. I think you said, it makes it look petty almost. And 600 million rand is a boatload of money that could have been used in a very, very constructive way. Mm. So we the problem with having Jacob Zuma as the president going into SONA is that all the bad stuff that's happening and all the good stuff, let's be honest, all the good stuff that's happening in this country gets neglected because everyone is so focused on one
exactly.
thing.
Yeah, the figure was, I think it was lower than that, lower than 600 million, but Parliament asked her to actually account as to what have you done since your portfolio started, actually. This portfolio was started with a simple objective of dealing with SMEs, and it has not delivered much, and the travelling, and Parliament has the right to ask, actually, that this figure that is coming out there, I forgot the actual figure, I think we should double check it, but it was quite concerning for Parliament. And I think those are the areas where government need to look at, because if you say to the students that we don't have money to fund public education, free to provide free tertiary education now, and then you then have this kind of expenditure, you are making people lose trust in your ability to prioritize, because people are going to say, but you are spending in this area, you are misusing funds in this area, and then there will no longer be the patience to wait for you to actually deliver on policies. I think it's just the bigger part is a reputation issue within the ANC, and they have to deal with it. If they can deal with the reputation issue, I believe they will be given time maybe to explain some of the substantive shortfalls that they are having, some of which are not entirely too bad. It's just a question of some are genuine, actually.
Ralph, three parties that seem to be fighting it out: ANC, EFF, and the DA. If we look at since the last SONA to tomorrow, which party do you think has won last year?
Well, I think that if you look at the EFF, coming no experience whatsoever, except for having been in the Youth League, where nothing much substantive was being done at that level, I think that it is the party that seems to have actually caught the people's imagination. My problem, though, is that they seem to be pushing the politics of disruption throughout. I'm glad they went to court, because it shows they've got respect for the formal processes to some extent. But it appears as if their strategy is disruption, disruption, disruption. Sometimes I wonder if they come into power the next day, maybe they might be so scared that they might disrupt their own government. They might not know what to do.
Well, you spoke of,
perhaps they will mature. I don't know.
You spoke of precedents that we're setting. Maybe their own members might think that, you know, the only way to make you work is to disrupt you.
It's sad.
Tell me, Ralph, as we close off here, what are you looking forward to at SONA? You said a speech, but specifically in the speech, what are you looking forward to? And then on the other side of the coin, what are you concerned about?
Well, I think that the president need to acknowledge that government, actually, it is the responsibility of government to ensure the private companies, that South Africa is still a place to invest. And I also think that you need efforts that can show actually that you believe in the markets. I mean, the president seems to have created this impression where he said people have overreacted over Van Rooyen, and you need to just recapture that. But I also think that the great job of the president when it comes to the State of the Nation will be done by the Minister of Finance. I mean, the State of the Nation can just set the grand ideas, but the Minister of Finance has got credibility, and if the president cues the Minister of Finance well in this State of the Nation, we might stabilize our economy. You need the private sector in South Africa to believe that actually they are part of the solution.
Ralph, as we close off, you know, I referenced Obama's last State of the Union address, where he said we should not fear the future, we should shape it. As citizens of South Africa, we're faced with a State of the Nation address where the president is going in, based on our conversations, very limited in terms of credibility. There's potential for disruption, and this feels like it's an extension, or this seems to be extending into the rest of society. The economy is not doing well. It's just doom and gloom. How do we as ordinary South Africans not fear this future that we seem to be faced with, and how do we begin to shape it?
I think South Africans need to understand that they still have a recourse against politicians, against any other party. That as much as the situation can appear to be gloom, as much as the headline can say gloom and doom, I think that they need to understand the most important thing is a vote. And it is South Africans actually who can shape their own relationship with political parties. And that can be shaped in a manner in which South Africans actually vote. They have to demand accountability. They cannot cede their responsibility to all to political parties, whether it's opposition party, whether it's the governing party. You need to strengthen that sense of citizens' agency where South Africans actually can exercise that recourse. And a recourse does not necessarily mean dismissing a leader. We tend to have these extremes. They just need to be attempt to build a healthy relationship, and that can still be done. We are not doing too badly. We remain a democratic country. I mean, since the Nkandla issue, no one has been assassinated about it. I think that is just an indication we can speak, and we live in a free democracy. We need to use it further, I think.
All right, Ralph Matecha, thank you for joining us from Mistra. Mistra, just give us the details. They do a lot of good work. Just give us their web address so that we can, if listeners out there want to see more, they can go find more information about what you guys do.
Yeah, our website is mistra.org.za. We do a lot of work around scenario planning, around looking at the economic forecast within the country as to what scenarios are going to come, what are the implications of the tension between government and the private sector. We actually try to build. We look at issues such as social compacting, taking some of the conversation out of the tense corridors and putting them somewhere, strengthening citizens, and just to build South Africa, because we don't believe.
Jeez, that was a 15-second advert right there for Mr. Thank you so much, Rob.
Thanks.
Talking to us about the real state of the nation. Rory, let's end this now. What do you think?
My friend, it still feels gloomy as... I don't know.
You said that Pumzile says that you're very negative.
She said I'm cynical.
Cynical.
Can you imagine
about politics?
Me, a person who's been in politics and failed fantastically.
Fundamentally.
How would I be cynical of all people?
What are you looking forward to in tomorrow's Sono speech?
So I'm one of those people that thinks it doesn't matter what President Zuma says. Come there, say what you want and whatever. Ultimately, it's execution. What I am looking for is what happens after that Sona speech. That's going to just be, so we execute. We can't keep saying we love the poor, we are concerned and so on, and then we continue to behave in the way that we're behaving, irrespective of whether we're in government, we're opposition, the ordinary person in the street, the way we vote, the way we interact with the different public platforms. It just shows that we really don't care. And we must just come to a point of either honesty or do something about it once the Sona has been delivered.
One of our WeChat guests or listeners said that, couldn't President Zuma just send us an email for Sona?
Roman is, yeah, Sona is a ridiculous pageant for politicians. Why can't our president just send us an email? I am inclined to agree with Roman.
Oh, wow.
There.
Agree with Roman. Wow. Yeah. Okay, there you go.
By the way, for our listeners... If you don't listen to us regularly, probably you should. Gloria Mary Molema says, "Hello, Rory and Mfoza Levy. You guys make me sound intelligent with all the political information that I get from the show. I would like to appreciate you guys today, hey. And Mr. Levy, you're very welcomed into our black community. Keep up the good work, you guys. Keep up the good work, you guy."
Listen, thank you so much for listening to Frankly Speaking 9 to 11. Thanks to all our guests, Pumzile Van Dam, Hope Papo, Ralph Matecha, and Faiza Hassan.
Ralph was excellent, huh?
Ralph was excellent. We're going to have that guy back for sure.
We must have him back, eh?
I think the comment of the day must have come from Kaya, who said, "Hope is uttering a bunch of words without saying anything. Stop trying to defend Jacob Zuma. He's not an ANC team player anymore." Have yourself a lovely day. Sonar 2016, tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Stay glued.
Jovi,
Jovi, Jovi. This
is CliffCentral.com.